Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Hi, my name is Holly Williams, and you're listening to Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. This series has been running since 2015 and highlights Francophone culture, values, and heritage from across Canada. It is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association and this station in support by La Fondation pour le Dialogue des Cultures and Canadian Heritage. On today's episode, we explore the background of Canadian electronic music from the perspective of a Francophone DJ from Gatineau who currently lives and works in Ottawa.
Hi, my name is Nicholas Drolet. I DJ under the name Niles Baxter. I'm from Gatineau in Ottawa. I was born in Ottawa, but I mostly grew up in Gatineau, went to school over there most of my life. Actually, like after high school, I studied business management. Was super beneficial to me learning about everything related to marketing, resource management, and everything, which helped me in my professional life as well as my musical career as Niles Baxter. My father is from Kapuskasing in Ontario, so right in the north of Ontario. My mother is actually like an Anglo-Québécois. She was from Hull, and they met at a party a bit more than 21 years ago, and I was the result of this meeting.
What got you inspired into electronic music and decided to make you become a DJ?
So yeah, actually, when I was younger, I used to listen to commercial rock and punk at that moment. So like stuff like Green Day were some of my like earlier influences, until the day I downloaded the game Tap Tap Revenge on iPod, on the iPod Touch. And basically that game changed my whole life, because one of the three starting tracks in that game was Louder Than Boom by Tiësto. After discovering that track, that which I kind of liked, I knew everything dance related as techno music. So I looked it up online and found a Tiësto album. I think it was Elements of Life Remix, which I downloaded, which was full of like harder trance stuff, which I didn't quite like at the time. But there was this one track called In the Dark, which was remixed by Dirty South on that album, and I kept listening to that track on and on and on and on, and it made me kind of discover like this passion about electronic music. So after downloading like a few more Tiësto albums, I stumbled upon Miami to Ibiza from Swedish House Mafia. I stumbled upon it on YouTube. I downloaded their Swedish House Mafia's first album. I think it was just a bit after their huge hit One was released. And that album pretty much is the second thing that paved the way to my musical career in the dance music industry, because it's through that album that I discovered the likes of the three members of Swedish House Mafia, so Steve Angelo, Axwell, and Sebastian Ingrosso. It also made me discover Late Back Luke, Sander Van Dorn, and then after doing some research on every single of those DJ and producers, like, I fell down the rabbit hole basically, and started like digging more and more and more and more, and I discovered Deadmau5, I discovered Eric Prydz, and so much good stuff, and it really got me going. And those were the years where EDM, where the big room sound was exploding. So 2010, 2011, I started going out like for those like Steve Aoki nights and Deadmau5 nights and everything. I instantly fell in love listening to dance music like on your earbuds when you first like discover it is one thing, but actually living it live like you're supposed to it's hooked me up even more, and the rest is history, I guess.
Can you tell me the first time you went out to an event and where that event was?
Okay, so I was 15 years old. It's a bit after I discovered, like I told you, my beginnings in dance music. And we saw that Skrillex was going to Blues Fest on that year. I think it was 2011. And it was my first proper live show, proper dance music show. And I went with my best friend, Julian, over there. We were 15 years old, I think. Not more than that. So really, really young. And I remember it was like the earlier days of Skrillex, where he wasn't as popular as he is right now. And I remember the crowd that was there was really like dubsteppy. It was pushy. And after the night was done, I remember the adrenaline pumping through my veins. And I remember like having the tracks like going through my head again and again and again and again, because it was such a powerful experience. It was just, it was a sensory overload. And like at that time, I didn't have any like other experiences at the time that could compare to what that event was. And then it's right after that event that maybe a few months later, DNA brought Deadmau5 to Ottawa. So that was my first like interior show. The festival vibe and the inside ravier vibe were two parts of like the bigger picture of dance music. And each event I went to made me fall in love even more with the scene. And that's really what got me going.
Was there a big difference between English Ontario and French Quebec on the other side of the Ottawa River?
I think because dance music was more like a Europe and American thing at the time, and EDM wasn't as big then in America. I know on the Quebec side and the French side, not a lot of people were listening to dance music. Most people in Gatineau were listening to like the bigger hits that were on the radio, so like reggaeton and pop and commercial rock, like what was playing at the time. And if I had to attend events, it was mostly in Ottawa. The English side was like of Canada was probably a bit more open to like the American culture and the European culture. And since Ottawa is a bigger city too than Gatineau, it also made an impact. In Montreal, it's a bit different. Montreal's always been a big city for dance music for years and years and years. So maybe over there, it's a different story. But growing up in Gatineau, I know there weren't much dance music.
How did you get into DJing then?
That's a funny story. Basically, my cousin's boyfriend, which I met at a Christmas party, brought his little Hercules console at the Christmas party. And it was the first time like I really enjoyed dance music. I didn't really know what was going on behind the decks. Like, what was a DJ actually doing? Is he like making the music live? Which is absolutely not true. But if you don't know, you don't know, right? Like, I started messing around with this Hercules console, and I spent the whole Christmas party spinning, like, doing like mashups with Pump Up the Jam, and I think it was Nas from Steve Angelo, and just going at it and having so much fun. My cousin's boyfriend, Jean-Charles, DJ JCP, who's a resident at Circus in Montreal, and a lot of events over there, especially on the trans side. Basically, we started like this friendship around DJing, and I met all of his DJ friends. And basically with them, like, I was super young at the time. I was like 15, 16. They were a bit more established in the scene in Gatineau and Ottawa. And I learned from them. I'm so lucky to have had the chance to have like those three individuals, which were GCP, Walid, DJ Skish, and Maradone, all three doing like totally different things now, but like having those three teach me how to properly DJ and how to approach dance music to such an advanced level, it paved the path for me to be able to put my own touch in music and develop my own taste at an early age and not just follow like all of the bigger trends at that moment. So yeah, that's really like how I actually started DJing.
Do you think growing up in Ottawa and Gatineau at an early age influenced how your sound really developed?
It's a really good question. I don't know if it made that much of a difference. At that time, we were still playing, like, we were following the big room trend. We were a bit, I think, a bit ahead of what was coming out and everything, but we were still following, like, this big EDM wave, which was, like, an American boom, right? So with like, Escapade around here that like, started to get bigger in Ottawa and everything, we really were influenced by the DJs that were big at that time, which were, like, I'd say Tommy Trash and Swedish House Mafia for sure. I think it was the bigger years of Afrojack and Avicii too. If we were into, like, I'd say tech house or trance or techno, maybe, like, the different cities and influences would have been more felt. But since we were part of this bigger EDM movement, I think, like I said, we were just following this big American wave of music.
What were some of the things that changed you from being interested in the EDM or popular sound to what you do now?
Well, I'd say the club scene, like, actually going into clubs and meeting people through music really helped with discovering new genres and more advanced stuff in the dance music world. Like, when you make some friends that have like a more mature taste in music and that bring you to events with a bit more quality involved, I guess. Well, musical quality. I know, like, music is music, and you can't say that a genre is better than in another as per se, but I still think, like, genres like progressive house, like proper progressive house, techno, and proper trance music too. As of right now, for me, that's where you find, like, the best quality in dance music right now. So yeah, like, going to progressive events, to techno events, and making my way to what I play right now took maybe 2 to 3 years once I actually started, like, going to proper events. But it's so worth it. Like, you just listen to music differently, I think. Your attention to musical details, I think, with years, it just changes. And it's funny because most of the friends I started with at the time when I was, like, 15, 16 years old, even the ones I didn't see for a while, we all kind of evolved the same way. Because let's say, like, I had a few friends that I didn't talk to for, well, maybe a year or two, that invited me, like, a few months back to Tale of Us. And last time we partied together, we were at, I don't know, at Afrojack or something. And it's just nice to see that, like I said, we evolve and we start to listen to quality music together. And
what was your first ever gig?
So my first gig was, I think it was the Festival Outaouais en fait, which was, like, something like the Festival of the Francophonie in Gatineau or something like that. An event that was supposed to be, like, 100% French and celebrating the French-speaking people in Quebec and in Gatineau and everything, and the French language overall. There were not a lot of dance music acts at the time, but there was this DJ contest organized by some of my friends that I mentioned earlier. And me, a friend from high school, and like I told you, it was a small festival, but the only competitors we had was David Fullerton and Mathieu Cormier, which people know as DFMC, or now they both have separate projects, but Cormier and Open Solaris, which I played with last Saturday. We met at the beginning, so that festival happened in 2012, and it was just like this DJ competition. It was my first gig, and I brought my little Control S4, which was the only DJ gear that I was actually a bit comfortable playing at the time. Everything went smoothly, but I was still super nervous, like, playing in front of, even if it was not a lot of people, it was still nerve-wracking. And actually seeing people dance to your music, it hooked me up even more. And it was only like a 10 or 20 minute gig, which is, like, a bit small considering, like, it's supposed to be a DJ set. But hey, honestly, like, as a first experience, it was a whole lot of fun. And it gave me confidence to actually start playing like a bit more gigs afterwards. Yeah.
So it sounds like your first gig was actually part of the Rendezvous de la Francophonie celebrations, which is pretty funny. What would you say has been your favorite gig to date?
I'd say my most memorable gig was TransUnity this year at Circus After Hours in Montreal. It was in June. It was like this big indoor rave. I wouldn't call it a festival. I'd call it like a proper rave with this huge trance lineup, which I was part of. It was presented by Monkey Business and Circus After Hours. And I had won the contest to play the opening spot in the main room the year before that. And they actually decided to book me again. A huge shout out to Rami, by the way, for that. Yeah, so I was playing from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. So a very good spot considering the most acclaimed artist for that night in the two other rooms were not playing at the same time as me. So I had a good amount of people upstairs for my set. It was only for an hour, but man, that hour rocked. I remember seeing the faces of all of my friends and so much more people I didn't even know dancing and raging to the set I carefully prepared. Because when you have like only an hour to play, especially for a big event like that, you prepare more than usual. Everything has to be, the tracks have to be a bit shorter, and you make mashups, you make edits to keep everything exciting and interesting. And like it went so smoothly. It was an amazing time. It's probably the highlights of my life right now, honestly. Just like, I remember after this set, I was just so emotional. It was from my beginnings to there, it seemed like everything went so fast, and it made me hopeful for the future. And I actually played such a great event at such a young age. It gave me hope that maybe a musical career was actually possible. So like all of those emotions at the end, it was just hardcore. It was crazy. I had such a good time.
You're listening to Rendezvous de la Francophonie. On today's episode, we are talking with Nicolas Drolet, aka Niles Baxter. He is a young francophone DJ living in Ottawa who plays trance music. I asked Nicolas what the difference is between English-Canadian cities like Ottawa and Toronto versus a francophone city like Montreal, for which electronic house music and trance music often does not get going until after the other clubs and bars in the other cities have closed.
There's this big difference between like the Ottawa and Toronto scene compared to the Montreal scene, right? Because to me, the proper hours to listen to dance music, except like maybe some club nights here and there, but for genres like I said, progressive, for trance and for techno, if we're following like the roots of where it came from, where rave lasted all night, I think Montreal really kept this essence going with like a strong after hours scene. We can still have like some decent club nights in Montreal, but we know that Stereo and Circus like are really the two main places to go party, except like unless you're listening to more like commercial stuff where you could go at New City Gas. And there are a few clubs here and there like New Speak and Stereo Bar, which have like great bookings too. But the main piece in Montreal is the after hours scene. And in Ottawa right now, we actually don't have any after hour events going on except White Rabbit once in a while at City at Night. We used to have BPM a few years back, maybe a year or two. Anyways, it closed down a few times, so I doubt that's reopening. And it sucks to me because some genres, like I told you, they're really made to be listening into the darker hours of the night or the early hours of the morning. And Toronto has it halfway nailed down. Coda and clubs like that close, what, 4 a.m.-ish? So that's nice, but it's still not like the proper time to finish a gig, especially with those longer marathon sets, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. to noon. I'll take an example of Danny Tenaglia at Stereo, where he starts at 2 a.m. and finishes at what, 3 p.m. the next day, even more sometimes like 5 p.m., sometimes like 7 p.m. I've heard. And that's the way to do it, honestly. Like that's that's a proper dance event. That's where I enjoyed the music the most. Why it doesn't work here versus over there? I think in Ottawa, it's just that the dance music following for those genres maybe are not big enough. There is one definitely in Ottawa, like especially for the tech house and techno scene, but it starts to get back like in the game with the White Rabbits event. But if it was as big as Montreal or whatever, we'd surely have at least one dedicated after hour. But it doesn't seem like the case for Toronto and everything. Maybe the laws over there are a bit more strict. I think that may be part of it. Maybe that's the reason too in Ottawa. I know that Montreal's always been recognized as a nightlife city. So maybe they're a bit more laid back for the rules when it comes to club hours and after hours. It's either the crowd or the rules over there, I think. Yeah.
Would you say you have any French influences, or were they few and far between?
For my dance music side, except like a few larger scale artists from France, like Daft Punk, artists like Gesafelstein and Danger, which like I really liked. They were not like my favorite producers, but the French house and French techno scene is definitely interesting. But I wasn't really influenced by the French or Quebec side of dance music. Maybe that is because it may not, except maybe from Montreal, but it may not have been as popular in Quebec, where they have like their own little culture. They are subject to be influenced from the American culture and the English Canadian culture, but they also, since they have like this French radio stations and French songs and Quebec artists, it slowed down the dance music influence in the Quebec culture. There is definitely like a few Quebec natives that are totally rocking it in Montreal. I may be part of one of the Quebec, the French-speaking people that actually represent dance music here. But yeah, there are definitely not as many as you'd see in Toronto, where they have like those big exports like Glenn Morrison, like Deadmau5.
Personally, where do you hope that your music career takes you?
I would really like to make music a career. I think it's possible. Maybe not in the short term, but maybe in the long term. Who knows? I'll try to put as much effort into it. But you see, you have in the competitive world like today, in the world where we book DJs from Germany, from Brazil, and everything, where everyone kind of compete with each other, you have to be ahead of the game. You have to have great DJ skills and awesome, amazing producing skills to be able to actually live off music. Because I know great producers and great DJs and a few known names that actually have a side job in the professional life on the side, because it's just hard to live just off of that. Honestly, if I'm simply able to bring food on the table with music, I'll be really happy. To get there, I've started producing music. I was always, and I will always be, a DJ first. And my biggest, like my idols, they're in the same situation, like Max Graham, Marcus Schultz, John 00 Fleming, where like those guys, they DJed for years and years before started producing. I think it may have been because a bit like me, didn't have the choice to just try to stay relevant. But I think producing is also very interesting, but it takes a while before you're able to get results that you're proud of. Since we're all music lovers, DJs are fore and foremost like music lovers. And if you're not able to get to a sound or production quality that satisfy your love of music, kind of gets discouraging. But you really need like not to give up, try not to give up, and keep pushing forward. And that's the plan. Hopefully, what my plans are right now would be to try to bring the darker side of trance music back and mix it with today's progressive and today's techno. Trance music right now was really influenced by the EDM boom. It's still quality music. It doesn't, I just don't like it as much as, like, I'd say trans, the, like, the Sander Van Doren stuff from 2008 to 2010, which was fantastic. Honestly, it was so good. It was dark. It was like sharp. So I'd like to bring that back at maybe a lower BPM, like the 128. Yeah, mix it with techno and progressive, try to get something unique out of that. I think, to me, that's the plan. Like you can find in my DJ set, I try to mix things around, build a proper story through that. And I think producing tracks could give me the opportunity to bring flavors into those sets.
Finally, who are some of your favorite Canadian artists that you think a listener should check out?
So yeah, definitely Max Graham, which has been, in the last few years, one of my biggest influences and an amazing, amazing artist. I've been impressed every single time I've seen him, in live, and every single of his productions is totally bomb. Montreal's Solid Stone is also, like, basically created his own flavor of darker, techier, progressive stuff, after-hours stuff, which is probably influenced by the city he lived in. Tiga, for sure. I'd really like to have more French-Canadian producers and DJs that I could mention. There probably are, but I'd like to see more being, like, renowned and getting the credit they deserve, maybe in a few years, like as the dance music culture becomes more and more popular. Maybe, like, the kids that are listening to EDM right now, maybe at some point they'll do like me and change to produce maybe like some proper dance music at some time. Maybe it will bring like a whole new generation of amazing producers and DJ, who knows. But I'd really like to have more French-Canadian and French-speaking artists and DJs. I'd like to see them flourish, for sure.
Where can people get more information about you and check out your music?
So you can find me on Facebook at Niles Baxter. You can also follow me on SoundCloud and Mixcloud at Niles Baxter. That's where to find me.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. If you want a copy of this show, please go to ncra.ca/RVF. Thank you to Nicolas Drolet for his time, and once again for you for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and the station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.